today we're going to light our second candle. Do y'all remember what the first candle was last week?
I wasn't there, but
all right. Let's talk about it just a little bit. Thank you, Daniel. Each one of the candles tells a part of the story of Jesus and his first coming. We use the word Advent. That's a fancy word for coming. Right, that's right. That's exactly right, James. Now, last week we lighted the first candle. Does anybody remember what it was?
The prophets.
Prophets, that's right. It's the prophets. And this much of the Bible, that much is the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, it tells all about the coming of Jesus in detail. And that he's going to come. And part of that story was that somebody was going to precede him. Does anybody know who the one that came before Jesus? Do you know?
God.
Well, God got you.
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit came, but he had a relative that came before him. And the Bible says, like a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Anybody know? John the Baptist. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, little Joel. We'll let you sit up here next week. Okay. So, that was spoken of by the prophet. So, that's right. And we're going to talk about him today. But today we light our second candle, which is the angel candle. Okay? So, the angel candle. There are at least six different times where angels are in the Christmas story. Now, there are six times that the angels are spoken of, where they come, and the word angel means messenger. The first one that we see in Luke is when an angel comes to John the Baptist's daddy, Zechariah, who was a Levite who was taking his turn to serve in the temple. Now, I want y'all to come around where you can see this that Mr. John is going to show us. Look at the little map there and see the altar of incense right there. Now, this is what the high priest would look like. All right, John, show them the other picture. Now, there's an exploded view of it. See the where the arrow points to the altar of incense? All right, this is probably what it looked like. It was, now, y'all turn around here and look at me. John, you can kill that. Thank you, John. Audrey says I don't thank you enough.
Good man.
John would be the son of Zacharias, but Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth had no children. And she was getting old. And Zacharias is going to take his turn as a Levite to serve in the temple, and an angel comes and speaks to him. And listen to what happens. An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right of the altar of incense. So I showed you on the map exactly where the angel spoke to him and was there in the temple with him. And Zacharias was troubled because he saw an angel. What would you do if you saw an angel? What would you do, Stewie? Would it scare you? Would you be surprised? You better show me a surprised look, Stewie. You got to do better than that, son. Okay, so he was very surprised. And listen to what the angel said to him. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. And Elizabeth, your wife, is going to bear you a son. And this son would be John the Baptist. And John the Baptist would be the one who would proclaim Jesus and prepare the way for him. But you know what happened to Zacharias? He didn't believe the Lord. And what do you think the Lord had happened to him? No. He knew the Lord, and when he didn't believe the Lord, he said, "Zacharias, you're not going to be able to talk until the baby's born."
What?
Have any of y'all prayed that prayer for somebody before? So again, now this is one spot where the angel came. Angel came and spoke to Mary. Angel came and spoke to Joseph three different times. Once to tell him it's okay to marry, take her as your wife. Once to say, get out of Jerusalem and get out of Bethlehem. And another time to come back from Egypt. And then and angels also spoke at the birth when those angelic choruses were there. So angels were a big part of the story. And what does the word angel mean again? What does it mean? It means messenger. Let's say that together.
Messenger.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings to us. And I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to us today. Lord, I pray you'll make your word clear and plain to us, and especially to these children. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Thank you, Brother Daniel. All right. Just when you think that they're not listening to a thing you say, they'll come back 3 weeks later and ask you a question and repeat verbatim what you said to them. You know, what a blessing. What a blessing. Their treasure. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 26. We're going to read two stories today. One out of Luke 1, 26 through 38. And one out of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. But you know, angels and the discussion of angels is a hot topic in our society. Wouldn't you say? You see a lot of that. You see a lot of New Agey, you know, that Twilight Zone music playing behind it. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say Twilight Zone music? Well, a third of us. So I need to update. Eerie music. And a lot of false things about angels. There's a lot of unbiblical stuff about angels. But we have all these ideas of what angels look like. I'm sorry, ladies, but we have no reference of any female angels. They're all male. They're all spoken of in that way. Now you may make an argument out of silence somewhere, but that's what it will be. It'll be an argument out of silence. If you want to go mainstream on it, that's what they are. For many people, the only place an angel comes into their thinking, especially in the Christmas story, is when they think of whatever they're going to put on the top of their Christmas tree. We look today at one of the stories already where angels, and this was the angel Gabriel that was there, came and spoke a message. Now, today, Johnny, you can put it up there. The title of today's sermon is Christmas Angels Bring Faith. And I'm going to read you two accounts. One where angel comes and speaks to Mary, and the other where angel comes and speaks to Joseph. And we're going to see what God has to say to us out of this. And I'm going to pray for you right now because I believe God has a special message for you in this. It's not just going to affect you, but it's going to affect other people in your life. So don't check out right now, okay? Let's hear the Word of God, and let's see what God has to say to us. You know, one of the things in our society, one of our popular statements is familiarity breeds contempt. When we think we're so familiar with a story or something that we know everything about it, what room does that leave for God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to us? A lady came to me one time and told me, she said, Pastor, your sermon today was just too simple. I said, that's good if you understood what the Lord was saying. Because there's something else that's going on. There's a process that's happening. When we read the Word, and when I or whoever is standing here speaks, the Holy Spirit is speaking to both of us. And understanding comes. This lady years ago on a church that I pastored years ago, she's probably in her early 80s. She's about that tall. She came up to me after a sermon I preached on Sunday night. She was in tears. She said, Pastor, the Lord just ministered to me through that message tonight. And then she started to recount the message she had heard. I went home that night and I looked at my notes and I read the scripture again. I said, you know, I know it's got to be in there somewhere. But what it reminded me of was that the Holy Spirit was doing something and was speaking to her in that time. I want the Lord to speak to you and to me today. Let's pray. Lord, right now, I ask you to cast away every distraction, and may the Spirit of God come and move and work. Lord, enlighten our minds and our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the Mary story. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, this is her relative that we just read about who had been barren. Now she's 6 months pregnant, you know, with a mute husband, a mute, disobedient husband who is every day reminded of his disobedience. God sent the angel Gabriel again, to Nazareth, a village of Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. Let me stop right there. Favored woman? Favored woman. In that one statement, we see a tip-off on one of the things that Jesus is going to do. Do you know in the history of mankind, who did more to raise up the status of women on the earth than anyone else? Only one. Yeshua, Jesus. Jesus is the one. Go to the places where Jesus is not lifted up, and I'll guarantee you, I can show you women abused more and trodden upon. It's just how it works. Okay. A little side light there. Won't charge anything extra for that. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. It's a teenage girl. Favored woman, an angel appeared. Imagine the countenance of Gabriel there in that place. Don't be frightened, Mary, the angel told her. For God has decided to bless you. Whew. Let's stop for a moment. To bless you. What did every Jewish girl desire? You know? They desired to bear children, but especially one child. And what child is that? The Messiah. The Messiah. Ooh, man, this is about to get good. The Lord has decided to bless you. You'll become pregnant and have a son, and you're to name him Yeshua, Jesus. He'll be very great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. Well, when the angel starts using this verbiage, these are phrases that we see in the Old Testament. The word that she's been hearing. He'll be the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He'll reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will have no end. So by this time, she's got it in her mind. He's talking that I'm going to be the mother of Messiah. And Mary asked the angel, how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The baby will be born to you, will be holy. He'll be called the Son of God. And what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. And people used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month. So here is Gabriel giving evidence of and just a little preview of what God is about to do in Mary. And I love the way that I believe it's the Nativity movie. The way they describe that, I happen to think that's how it happens. She gets this news and she goes to visit Elizabeth, and when she comes back, she's showing. I mean, and everybody in town, then there's scandal. Verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary responded. Now, does this let you know the Lord chose the right one? I am the Lord's servant. And I am willing to accept whatever He wants. May everything you have said come true. And then the angel left. Teenagers, young people, don't sell yourself short. Don't say to me, oh, I'm not mature enough to hear those things of the Lord or those things that go on. Mary, the mother of our Lord, heard those things. And she responded in faith. You want to see a revival in this country? Let it start in the young people. Let it start in youth. And man, that kind of enthusiasm. Anyway, another subject for another day. Now the story of Joseph. So, all right. If Joseph is betrothed to her, and now she's becoming pregnant, and they've not actually entered into their marriage yet, that brings about a problem. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. Matthew's description of things. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, and while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. See the character of this man? Again, has the Lord chosen the right one? You better believe it. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit." Now let me ask you, do they have a precedence for this? No, sir. No, sir. "And she'll have a son, and you're to name him what? Yeshua, Jesus. He'll save his people," which is what his name means. "He'll save his people from their sins." And all this is happening to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. We talked about the prophets. God is putting together this whole thing, this thematic word, this word of God that has a unity. It's all about the salvation of man. Look, verse 23. "The virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son. He'll be called Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. "And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded, and he brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." Jesus, that's right. Look at the simple faith of these two people. They hear God speak, and they do it. Now, let's make a few applications out of this. Number one, without faith, life could become very complicated, couldn't it? Mary and Joseph could have complicated their lives. Imagine you're in Mary's place. You're a young Jewish teenager. You've just gotten engaged. Your mind just around that is a big enough challenge. And then this angel appears to you. The angel Gabriel himself makes this appearance. You're frightened. Gabriel eases the fears. You're told that you're going to be the mother of Messiah. And the inescapable summary of all of this is that what she's just been told is that she's going to be the mother of Messiah, what every Jewish girl wanted. Her question is, how can this happen? Gabriel makes it clear. And Joseph is also visited by an angel. Let me make a little side point here. God never speaks in a vacuum. What he says to one does not contradict what he says to another. Hear it. Hear it. That is the foundation of every heretical teaching that is going on. There's a unity about what he is doing. Now, it doesn't mean it's exactly the same. Get Mary's story, what he's doing with her, and get Joseph's story, what God's doing with him, and they're not contradicting one another, but is it all the same information? Well, some of it's the same, but they're coming at it. And you put them together, and what do you have? You have the whole message of what God is doing. Both of them respond in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For those that come to God must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We see that in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Imagine what all was going through Mary's mind, but she's trusting in the Lord. She could have been gripped by fear But instead of that fear being there, there is faith. She has simply turned things over to the Lord. Her obedience comes out of her faith. And for Joseph too. And you see, the steps that they take are steps of faith. Secondly, God's in the miracle business. What the angel announces is nothing short of a miracle. Very appearance of Gabriel being there. That's miraculous. What happens when he comes and he speaks to Joseph, that's miraculous. The Son of God being born of a virgin, that's miraculous. And by the way, people now for two millennia have chiseled at this story. And they're still chiseling at it today to take away parts of it. To take away, well, you know, the virgin birth isn't very important. It isn't. If you can't count on that, how can you count on the rest of the story? Answer, you can't. It's a unity. God's in the miracle working business. The Son of God would be born miraculously. You look at this world. How did this all come into existence? You know, we see our scientists who generation after generation contradict themselves, trying to explain in man-made terms something that is inexplainable except for an act of God. Number three, faith is very simple. The faith that was called forth from Mary and Joseph was not complicated. There was no six-month study group, focus group launched to let's kick this around a little bit and at the end of the day, let's come up with what's politically pleasing to everybody in our town, everybody in our family, everybody in the political system that'll be pleasing to all of them. What Gabriel said to each of them as he spoke, as he brought the message of God to them, called forth one thing: faith. When God speaks, He's asking you, believe me. Believe me. Faith, by its very design, it's not complicated. Where's God asking you to have faith right now? And if you understood everything about it, every detail of it, there wouldn't be any faith, would there? Because you're trusting. And you say, well, I just don't have faith. I don't put my faith in anything. Yes, you do. I'm calling you a liar if you say that. Because that's what you are. If you say you don't put your faith in anything, you're a liar. You're trusting in something, in someone. You trusted in a car to get here today. When you turn that key today, you don't have any mob friends, do you? Three of you got the illustration there, or any jokester, when I was growing up, they put these smoke bombs in your under your hood. You know, when you did the ignition, you know, smoke would kind of make you think you'd blown up your car. That kind of thing. Not that I ever did anything like that. I didn't. I'm not. But I've heard Dane and Rick tell stories about how they did things like that in their rambunctious days. You see, you're trusting in something. Are you trusting in the government? You're trusting in Social Security. You're trusting in your political party. Oh, yes. Are you trusting, well, fill in the blank. You're trusting in something or someone. Why not trust the one who is proven? He is absolutely trustworthy. Faith is simple. Number four, through faith, God invites us to be a part of His great plan. Boy, Mary and Joseph were about to embark on an adventure. Imagine this now. Think of it. Think with me for just a moment. They're going to have to go. They're going to go to Bethlehem. You know, called there to have taxes. She's going to have the baby in a barn. These shepherds are going to show up. Angels are going to be singing. They're going to be spoken to again by an angel. They're going to travel down to Egypt. And when the king dies and they can come back, the angel speaks to them again and brings them back up, and they're going to live at Nazareth. So it can be fulfilled what the Scripture says. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would come out of Egypt, and he would be called a Nazarene. There you go. Just because you can't figure it out doesn't mean it's not true. Or you haven't got enough information. Through faith, God was inviting Mary and Joseph to be a part of this great adventure of salvation for all mankind. And God does that again. And again, He's still inviting people to be part of His plan. Who would have thought a Japanese girl would hear the gospel and cross oceans and be a blessing to people throughout her life? Who would have thought? You know, that the Lord would speak to somebody up on a Ferris wheel. Mr. Bonifacio. Who would have thought? Fill in the blank. Our stories. It's God bringing them all together and showing us this great rescue mission called salvation. It's what this story is about. It's why we light these candles. It's why we go through all of this. It's why next week, you know, a week from tomorrow, we're going to be out here with live animals and hay and stuff in the hay and children going everywhere and hot dogs and all that stuff and coloring books, and we're going to need everybody on deck, because there are going to be hundreds of people that are going to pass through here, most of which have no personal relationship with Jesus. Are they valuable? Were you valuable? Were you valuable enough that God would launch His mission just for you? What has He jerked your backside out of? What did He save you from? Where would you be today had not Jesus come with His love? Well, here are a few parting shots. Four questions. Are there parts of your life that are way too complicated today? You know, some of us could just mess up a one-car funeral. We could manage to get a traffic jam with that. We could screw it up with our worry and getting our hands all over it, when what has God called us to do with our stuff? He said, trust Me. Bam! That's what this is. This is empty hands in a full heart. That's why when we empty them, then that allows us to do this. Universal signal for what? I give up. Universal signal for what else? Praise be to God, unto Him. There is no other in the earth. Empty hands. Full heart. Well, there are parts of your life that are way too complicated. Number two. Could you use a miracle? No. I'm good. All right. Don't be an idiot. Of course you could. Ask God. Let Him do the miraculous in your life. I praise God for the day that my daddy received Christ in his life. I was 10 years old. And our home changed. And many homes in Savannah would change if one parent received Jesus. That's why things like worship services and life group and live nativity and all these stuff, these chances we get to show people the story. Number three, are you willing to trust God? Are you willing? Now let's put whatever it is and whoever it is you're trusting up against God. Now who are you going to trust? Let's measure them. Just be honest. And number four, God isn't calling you to sit. He's inviting you to join Him. Where is that? Well, I know I'm beating a dead donkey here, but... Let me tell you one place I know He's inviting you. 2 days next week, we're going to be out on that front lawn with animals, live animals, people standing around, and children crawling around like, you know, it's going to look like somebody kicked over an anthill. But you know what everybody's going to take away from that? They're going to remember the simple gospel story. In 2 days, we're going to be out in Georgetown doing the same thing. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's one of the places God's inviting us to join Him. To join Him. We do it as a church every year. Just like we do baseball camps, like we do camp. We do these things, you know, to raise people up in the Lord, but to introduce them to the Lord. Where else is God asking you to join Him? In this season. What's He asking of you? Now I'm going to pray. I'm going to open the altar. If you'd like to come and pray today. I know we can't talk much longer because that candle is getting down there. Some of you have been watching that and you're worried, but we've got more candle. We got a couple more minutes. I believe we're going to laugh in heaven. I do. It's not profane. It's real. Let's pray. The altar will be open. Brother Dane, Brother Rick will be here. You want to come and pray today. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, today is the day. He loves you. If you got stuff that's just weighing you down today, the altar's open. Come. Come. Lord, we pray right now. As we respond to You in faith and trust, or as You open Yourself to us, thank You for Your sweet love. Draw us now, Lord. Yeshua's name. The altar's open. If you have an offering you want to bring to the Lord, there's a basket in the back, basket's up front here. We want to get those cards from you today. Look this way, if you will. Has the Lord spoken to you today? Baptism, worship, prayer, fellowship, studying the Word, children. Where did He speak to you? Where did He speak to you? All right. Well, let's go out of here today and let's act like He spoke to us. Let's be obedient. What did Mary do? She was obedient. And her obedience brought simplicity to her life. Lord, we pray that You would send us out. Send us out as we go today under the authority of Yahweh, our Father God. As we move in the love of Yeshua, Jesus the Son. Lord, as we're empowered by Your Holy Spirit. Thank You. We love You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.